Just before I try to say something about the Trinity today, this thing, the typical Johannine view of the world, highly dualistic view of the world in which you're either good or you're bad. There is no intermediate stage, unfortunately, which caused in time the same community to founder and to explode. Because, let's face it, life is not like that. Paul didn't see the world in those stark black and white terms, but there you are. So we need to be very cautious in hearing about who's condemned and who's not condemned. The business of condemnation means that, according to Johannine usage, if you see the truth and you deny the truth, then you're condemned. That's what he's talking about. So it's not some kind of irrational, an arbitrary sentence passed on part of the human population. Okay, the Feast of the Trinity. That most terrifying day of the church year where you try to say something about something that seems so remote. The Trinity, God as triune, tripersonal. What does that mean? Does it have any kind of rootage at all? It has to. Somehow find some basis in the experience of us human beings. And so I'd like to propose this year that we can come to that by a negative experience, an experience of events in life that we somehow instinctively believe should not be. And because this should not be, therefore that argues to something that should be. And the experience I want to propose is a normal human one, that of loneliness. I mean, and I suppose this varies greatly from person to person, the depth and the pervasiveness of that experience. For many people, it is a constant state, virtually constant state. Being alone, being cut off from everybody else. But everybody on the planet has some familiarity with that great void that opens up in us when we seem to be this little monadic entity with no connection to anything or anybody else. You can't have that experience in its full depth and pervasiveness without suspecting something is desperately wrong here. That my life should not be lived in this condition. And I think that's where this business of the Trinity can open up, because it took the church several centuries to come to some kind of Trinitarian understanding of God. But clearly, whatever that means, it means that God is a community. God is not some kind of solitary monadic being, you know, hovering over whatever. That the interior life of God is that of a life of radical, mutual self-donation. That precisely to be God is to be the Father totally available to the Son totally available to the Father, the Spirit totally available to both and receiving both. I think it makes sense to say, yeah, that's one place where this seemingly so abstract and remote doctrine can be rooted. Because there's nothing so gripping or agonizing, I think, as to find oneself in a state of absolute loneliness. It argues to, therefore, an understanding of human life whereby we are really supposed to be open to each other. See, this is so radically different from our normal constitution, that is, I am myself, the more I am different from everybody else, the more I can distinguish myself from everybody else. The great Jean-Paul Sartre made enormous point of this and being in nothingness. That's who I am. I'm not who I am is that I'm not that other. Well, there's a great deal to be said for that understanding, and it does open up all kinds of avenues, but that cannot be the terminal point of our self-understanding. Rather, it seems to me, the Trinitarian understanding of God opens up the purview that really my life is to be absolutely and ultimately shared. In fact, you redefine it. I am myself, not insofar as I'm different from the other, but only insofar as I'm connected to the other. That alone opens up space for my being. They said, this is so counterintuitive to us in the West, particularly. Last night I had the privilege of being with a group of Colombians, and I was struck again. Granted, this is cultural and perhaps very super. I was astonished at how intimate those people seemed to be with each other. It was really amazing. I mean, we Canadians, who are so afraid even to touch each other, we erect all kinds of barricades, safety zones for ourselves, safety zones. And that's, of course, the key. If I am open to the other, then I am endangering myself. But the prospect of the Trinitarian life of God said, no, really, I am circumscribed, I am curtailed, I am foreshortened, I am abbreviated, I am distorted to the extent that I cannot be radically open to the other. And this is what the radicality of the understanding of the Trinity is so crucial, because the Father is not the Father unless the Father is with the Son, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But why triune? This is maybe perhaps shingling off into space. Because we all have the experience of the one-on-one, you know, the duality, the duet, you know, that we play out our lives. But often enough, that is simply creating a larger safety zone, however temporary and provisional, against other people. To believe, therefore, that the two in a state of mutual self-protection is the ultimate thing, is wrong, is inadequate. But somehow the Trinitarian understanding of God calls us to believe, against all kinds of counter-evidence, that it's with everybody I'm to be connected. Not just my significant other. All my others are supposed to be significant. And I am diminished to the extent that I am not open to all the others. That I am smaller, I am less myself, to the extent that I exclude the others, any others. And I think, at least this has been fruitful for me, and I hope it is you to take this enormous leap of imagination to think of a place where I really could radically open myself to everybody else. But I think that it's fair to say that that's one of the things that the believing in a Trinitarian God teaches us. This infinite enlargement of ourselves. An enlargement which is not some kind of expropriation of who we are, but the only way to realize who we really are.